Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
And I am Dori Shafrir.
We are not experts.
We are just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
That's right. Welcome all, one and all.
One and all. Everyone is welcome here.
Everyone is welcome here. Dori, a few things before we get started.
Yeah, hit me.
Call us on the voicemail.
Oh my God, call us.
We've gotten, I'm going to tell you, 4 voicemails. Every single one is a treasure.
We are so popular.
4 people.
That's amazing.
And it's very special to hear someone's voice.
Yes, it's very powerful.
It's intimate.
So our voicemail is 781-591-0390. And if you haven't listened to our mini episodes yet,
get in there.
Get in there. You'll hear on our second mini episode, we play our voicemails. And you're going to love them.
You're in for a treat.
You're in for a real treat. We also, last week, sent out our first newsletter.
Which was really fun.
Which was so fun. We had a sick giveaway from Olali. Just a lot of fun things happening.
A couple of gifts.
So that'll be going out monthly. And you can sign up on our website, forever35podcast.com, where we also have, as usual, we have all the products that we mention on every episode on our website. And you can also join our Facebook group.
Yes, which is www.facebook.com/groups/forever35podcast. A lot of action going on in that Facebook group.
So much action. The secret code word is serums.
That's it.
FYI.
Just, you need one.
You need one because there are bots aplenty out there.
Helps us weed out the randos.
We also have offshoot groups now for swapping products, mental health, one for dating in your 30s.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a new one.
That's a cool one.
Yeah, I know. It's very cool.
I know nothing about what
I guess
that's like.
I should say 30s and beyond.
Get in there, 60-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. And one for, there's a Forever 35 book group, and they are reading The Wedding Date.
And of course, if you like our show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend, which people have been writing us and saying they've told friends.
I know.
Which is so cool.
We love you guys.
Also, someone who I went to high school with joined the Facebook group.
Oh,
I was so happy to see them.
Well, someone who is married to someone I went to high school with was like, hey, I think you went to high school with my husband. And I was like, oh my God, Aaron Lissman.
Get
totally.
In here. So anyway, anyone who went to our high schools, get in the group.
Yeah.
It just will titillate us that much more. And
you can follow us on Instagram.
That's right.
At Forever 35 Podcast. We get crazy in the stories and we get meme-tastic.
Super meme-y.
On the regular posts there. Yep.
And on Twitter, we're Forever 35 Pod.
Yep. So, Kate.
Hi.
Hi. Great to see you.
It's so good to see you. We're both in comfortable linen garb.
We're both in black crane today. I'm in a jumpsuit.
And I'm in a shirt that I bought from a friend.
As you know, I'm a big fan.
I felt very like living your best life.
It's a great life.
And I also did a thing I bought. My friend was selling off some clothes. I went and I bought 3 things. And then I went home and I took 3 things out of my closet. And I'm going to either donate or try to sell them.
Oh, Kate.
It felt so good.
You're really speaking my language.
I know. I felt, it was like
you've been counseling
and mentoring me.
And how does it feel?
Good. Although I had a hard time. I know what the third item is going to be. And I should let it go. And it's like a shirt that doesn't quite fit me right, but it's still like a silky top that I bought at Anthropologie that I value.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to say goodbye to it.
Yeah, I said goodbye to a pair of Madewell loafers.
I saw that.
Super cute. But they didn't totally fit me right. Every time I wore them, they were like a little uncomfortable. And I was like, these are not serving me well. I'm going to say goodbye.
Send them out on their journey to the next person.
I said goodbye. They went off to Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I do. I was really excited to buy something that had been pre-owned by somebody. And it was really fun. She was like giving me tips on how to style it and telling me how she wore it.
I love that.
This is just a pleasurable way to shop.
Yeah. You know, interesting. You're giving me some ideas.
Okay. All right.
But otherwise, how was your week?
Well, I had a very self-care again. I'm just going to keep trying to make that work.
Keep trying to make that happen.
Even though someone suggested self-care bear, and that makes a lot more sense.
It's kind of funny.
Self-carry Bradshaws?
No.
No. Okay. I went through all the carries that I could think of. Yesterday is the anniversary of my mom dying. And every year, so it's been 11 years, and every year I always kind of, well, not every year, but I like to kind of do something.
Yeah, I love that.
And some years I haven't because I've been like traveling or too busy or working or what have you. Last year, on the 10th year, we went to Disneyland with my husband and I and our kids, which was really fun. And then this year, I had planned on like taking everybody to the beach and being in nature. And then I was like, no, I'm in the mood. Like what happens is that when I get closer to the anniversary of my mom's death, I start to get really grumpy and like itchy and hot and angry. And then I'm like, oh, right. It's that the wonderful time of year again. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the day. I'm going to go to my favorite all women's spa.
Yes.
And I got there at 11:30 and I left at like 6:30.
Did you eat?
I did.
What'd you have?
I had dumplings and a chicken noodle soup.
Yes. I think their food is really good.
I never knew until I went to this specific spa that a spa could have a cafe.
Oh, yeah.
And I brought my computer. I worked for an hour on my novel project
that I'm working on.
I
love that.
I napped.
Did you nap on the hot floor?
Fuck yes, I did.
Oh, I love the hot floor.
I know. And I was trying to explain it to my husband. I was like, there's a jade floor where you can just get a blanket and fall asleep. And I just nap. And there were numerous women napping around me.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just such a comfortable. Also, I got emotional because I was like, look at all of us naked and we're all different with different bodies. But we're also support. I was kind of losing my mind. But
did you get any treatments?
I did. I got a scrub.
Love a scrub.
Got scrubbed. I went into every sort of hot soaking thing and every sauna, and I read my book, and I even skipped ahead to the sex scenes because that's what I wanted to be reading.
Great.
And I didn't feel bad about it.
No.
So I felt like I had a good day, and all week kind of leading up to it, I've been going to bed really early. I took a bath one night. I pulled from our interview with Jasmine Guillory. I took a bath with Epsom salt, a blob of coconut oil.
Ooh.
I have been putting my phone away at 9 o'clock, so I just read a book in the bath, and I was all warm for bed, and then I went to sleep at 9:30.
Oh.
So I've kind of just been trying to take care of myself this week because emotionally I'm a little rocky.
Yeah.
And it felt really good, you know? It felt right.
Did you feel like you got what you needed?
I don't know the answer to that because I don't even know what I need.
Yeah,
it's kind of like,
totally.
What am I doing? Am I like, to me, it's like, this is always kind of a weird day for me. It's better if sometimes it's better if I'm just alone.
I personally like the vibe of being alone among people.
Me too.
That's like my favorite thing. So I could see how that would be very comforting. To be by yourself, to be with your own thoughts, but to be, like you said, like to be surrounded by other women napping.
Just
sounds really soothing.
It was very soothing. I also, again, got emotional because so many of the women at the spa are with friends.
Yeah.
And there's just like pockets of women. Like there were these women laughing next to me when I was kind of in my nap area. And at first I was like, get out. But then they were having like their inside jokes and it just made me, aww. I don't know what, I was really emotional about relationships with yeah. women yesterday. I was just really weepy. But anyway, it's just really beautiful just seeing like women communing.
That's so nice.
Is that weird?
No.
That's what I took away from it. That and also like I got the shit scrubbed out of me.
Yeah.
Not actual. Right. But you know what? It did move things around.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
My digestion was great. So Dory, you haven't been on Twitter. Did you like clock out at BuzzFeed and then you were like, bye Twitter? Like, was it just a way to kind of shut down for
a little bit? Like, bye Twitter and bye Slack.
Oh, which I've never really participated in.
Right. And so Slack is great in a lot of ways. And I enjoyed interacting with my colleagues on it, but it's also a huge time suck. And it's one of those things where like you feel like you have to be like the first person to share the story and everyone's talking about everything. Like it's all moving really quickly. And I was like, I am consciously uncoupling from
Gwyneth would be so proud.
This whole situation of, like you said last week, the kind of constant stream of news. And I'm going to be more selective about my intake. You know, I've stopped listening to news in the car. I listen to classical music.
I love that so much. I love that that's stuck.
That has stuck. I'm curious to see how long this is going to last. I do feel like I'm sort of in this honeymoon phase of just having left my job and sort of feeling like I need to detox. But I would like to develop a healthier relationship with social media overall.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need to like wrestle it back. Like I feel like social media was like controlling me for a long time. And I want to be like, fuck you, social media. I'm in charge. There's a new sheriff in town and you're going to listen to me.
That's right. And she's listening to classical music.
Yeah. And not looking at Twitter on her phone.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Just one other very quick thing.
Yes, I'm ready.
Which is that I started cleaning up my office this week because I wanted like a clean and spare workspace for my new life.
Dory 2.0.
Yeah, exactly. And my friend Amanda came over and she helped me start getting rid of stuff. And she was like shocked at how much stuff I had. And was also like she kind of said that she was like, wow, you're a really high functioning person who's like really disorganized. And I was like, yeah. And so she got me started. And then I've been going through like, she was like, you have to go through literally everything. Ugh. So I've been, you know, going through drawers and just all this stuff that I keep moving from house to house. Like every time I move, it's stuff that's been with me. And I found like all these old notes. And then it got very like emotional.
Right, then you cry. And
yeah.
You,
and yeah. I was like, oh, like, you know, I was also like texting my sister because I found notes that she wrote me when I was at camp when she was like 8 years old. And, you know, it was just like, it was like a lot.
And what do you do with all that? This is what I don't understand. What are you supposed to do? You keep it.
Okay.
Right?
So I kept almost all of it.
Yeah.
I just threw everything in folders and put them in my file cabinet and labeled them old stuff.
That sounds very smart.
And they all live in my file cabinet now. They used to live like in random boxes. And so now at least they're all together.
I love that.
And I know where they are. Now, I still do have a massive bin of stuff that is labeled Dory's memorabilia that I need to go through. But We're getting there. So that's my other.
That must feel really good.
It doesn't feel good yet. Okay. Because it's still in the phase of like it looks like it's a cyclone.
Yeah.
And it's also made its way out into the hallway. So
I know this.
And
feeling.
I'm like, I have three huge books of CDs. Like, what do I do with them? I guess I just throw them away.
You do. You throw out the music CDs.
Yeah.
You throw them all out.
Matt was like, you could burn them all into a thumb drive.
No.
I was like, what?
No.
No.
It's all on Spotify. Unless it's like a special mix.
No. Also, like, from who? My next boyfriend? Like, no, I don't need that. Like, anyway, on that note,
let's have a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. So, Kate, I was thinking this week we could talk about how we learned about beauty, skincare, and other self-care things, and also how we learned that We were allowed to take care of ourselves in this way. And I should say also, we were inspired by a post in the Facebook group for this question.
Yeah, and I love this question.
I love it too.
I mean, where to even begin?
Tell me.
Okay. How did you learn about beauty, skincare? Okay. I mean, it's tricky. I obviously am going to say my mother.
Right.
And then probably second, my grandmothers, my aunts.
Okay.
The kind of grown-up women who I saw on a more regular basis. But my mom was very low maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
She was, I don't know how to explain it, because she also felt very glamorous to me.
Mm.
She wore Cristal by Chanel, that perfume.
Ooh.
Yeah, like she was a juxtaposition of style. She
sounds elegant.
I think she was kind of elegant. She was just very understated. She didn't wear a lot of makeup. The only skin regimen I remember she had were these like weird white bottles of moisturizer. I don't know. I think she had like rosacea or something. She used Cetaphil. She bought the same kind of dry idea deodorant my whole life until she died. I mean, you know, she was kind of...
But did she ever like teach you?
No. My mom had stick straight hair that she permed in the 80s and then wore in like a straight bob in the 90s and the aughts, and wore headbands. There was no like, come here into the bathroom and let me show you how lipstick works.
Right.
Because I don't think she cared. She didn't really care about that stuff. She
yeah.
had like one red Revlon eyebrow pencil. And then she wore like a variety of CoverGirl lip stains that I also bought. Like we discovered them when we were teens.
Yeah.
As I got older, and her tastes, I think, kind of expanded. Like, we would go to the Bloomingdale's makeup counters together and buy stuff. And there was a little bit more, but she just didn't wear makeup. She didn't have an intense hair regimen. She just wasn't in. It wasn't. I mean, she got manicures occasionally.
Okay.
As she got older, I think she kind of started to care a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have like a vivid, like, were you taught? Did someone, I feel like, you know where I learned shit was like at camp.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, because you also went to an all-girls school.
Yeah. That
so
was
what,
a whole thing.
What happened there?
I mean, honestly, in seventh grade, I remember very vividly, we didn't shower and we would take the forks in the dining center and run them through our hair.
Oh.
Like to get the grease out. We were just living our best all-girls school life.
Yeah, it sounds a little Lord of the Flies.
It was a little dark. I certainly, like, I don't think I learned things from my peers in that way.
Yeah, I learned a lot at camp. Camp was, like, the place where I learned to, like, shave my legs.
Yes.
And, you know, all that kind of stuff. My mom was, I think I've mentioned this before, but she had a few things that she did religiously. And I think I sort of absorbed that. Like, she would get facials. I want to say not that often. It was like a special thing for her to get a facial. And she, she went to the same woman named Paige, who had a little place on, you know, on the second floor of a building on Newbury Street. And I think Paige also gave her bikini waxes.
Ooh, your mom waxed her bush?
Yes, Kate. My mom waxed her bush.
So sorry. I didn't know what to call it. Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't even know if I've ever said the word bush out loud.
Especially about my mom.
Oh, God.
All right, moving on.
Well, my mom definitely did not wax.
Yeah, so my mom did, and I think Paige also did it, but she didn't wear a lot of makeup. I remember she wore some like blue eyeliner in the 80s, but she did the Clinique three-step thing that I've talked
yes,
about before.
Yes, my mom also, I vividly remember having Clinique.
Yeah, but I don't, her nails were always clean, but I don't remember her getting manicures at the time. Now, my grandmother, her mother was extremely girly and like always with like red manicures.
Oh, wow.
And went to the beauty salon every week to have her hair set and was, you know, like very thin and like wore clothes that I didn't like. They weren't my style, but you could tell she cared a lot about how she looked. Red lipstick always, full face of makeup always. And I did feel like my mom's sort of like, I'm more low maintenance, was kind of a reaction to her mom being more high maintenance.
That's fascinating because my mom's mom was even less maintenance than my mom.
Oh, interesting.
She wore the same outfit, which was a white turtleneck, khakis, and like Keds, and she bought them all at like Ames, which was like Marshall's.
Oh my God, that's so wonderfully WASPy.
It's so WASPy. The only thing I remember her using is Nivea cream.
Uh-huh.
And she just pinned her hair back, but she also felt very kind of glamorous to
yeah.
me. There was kind of like a hardened New England vibe to my family.
Yeah.
To my mom's side of the family.
Yeah.
My dad's mom was glamorous but cheap. So she would always give me like these miniature lipsticks that she got.
Oh my God.
Like
amazing.
At the department store,
yeah.
Miniature perfumes. And she was like, you know, 4'11" and Italian. And so she had like a little bit more spunk.
Yeah.
But I think camp, when you are in a bunk.
Yeah. When you are bunk with other girls.
And you don't know, like when I went to sleepaway camp for the first time, there were girls who had like way more glamorous lives and they would like leave conditioner in their thick hair and then blow dry it to like, cause they had, it would just blew my mind.
Yeah.
I like literally just used Pert Plus. I didn't know anything.
Yeah. No, these were definitely girls who knew things more than I did.
Oh, and wait. Not to backtrack, but you're the big sister in your
I
house.
I am the
so
big sister.
So did you teach your little sister stuff?
No, because she was so much littler.
Right, you have a
she
big
gap.
She
was 7 years younger than
okay.
me. So like, in fact, one of the letters that I found, it was like, it kind of broke my heart because it was like, oh, like she said, I went in your room. Mom wouldn't let me sleep in your bed, but I slept in your chair one night. I had one of those Pier One Papasan chairs.
I always wanted one of
those. Just like the image of like my 8-year-old sister like sleeping in my chair. I don't even think I was like trying to be mean to her. It was just like, you're 8 years old. Like, what do we have to talk about?
You must have been so exotic and cool to her.
I think it was just like this other world. I mean, we had a real Daria and Quinn relationship. So she was like a perky, you know, cute, happy person. And I was like a depressed, angry teen. So I feel like my self-care as a teen was sort of like not great.
Mm.
And it certainly wasn't something that I was like thinking about or cared about really. I cared about my clothes, but like, otherwise I wore makeup, but not like I didn't really know what I was doing. But I remember I have these like weird memories of, especially with skincare, like these sort of like flashbulb moments. And one of them was when I was with, I was talking to my friend Corey, and his husband David is like 10 years older than him. Maybe not 10 years. I forget. He's older than him. And I remember learning how old he was and being like, oh my God, he looks amazing. Like how, I had no idea. I think at the time he was 50 and I was probably like in my early 30s. And so 50 seemed real old. And so I was like, wow, he looks great. How does he look so great? And Corey was like, he moisturizes. And I was like, oh, that's the secret. I need to moisturize more. And like, I don't know, for some reason, I just kind of like missed it a little bit. Like my skin looked fine. I was on birth control. So it cleared up my skin. I didn't have acne like in my 20s and early 30s. And so I was just sort of like, I wore sunscreen. But I was like going about my day.
And then, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I went through a phase in college where I went into tanning salons.
I never went to tanning salons because I burn so easily.
Me too. I would do the like low. It was also, I was in college in Maine, so it like warmed me.
Oh, yeah.
But I once in high school, because I'm also very fair, we went to the like a lake and I wore baby oil.
Oh,
like,
my God.
You know, these kind of things that you do where you don't know and your peers are doing it.
Yeah.
Like you're beautiful. friends who can do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of shit, I feel like.
Well, I remember at camp, too, people would like lie out.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, I'm not like, I can't do that. I will just get sunburned. But that was, I guess that was like a form of self-care in a way.
It was just
even
like,
though they were probably giving themselves skin cancer.
I do think the other place that I got information from was YM.
Yeah.
17 and Sassy
and
Magazine.
Sassy. Yeah, and for sure.
That is where I got all my. Oh, and also, Dory, I want to say this. The Oprah Winfrey Show. I feel like I learned a lot about, because every day, my whole life, I would come home after school and Oprah aired at 4 p.m. on ABC and my mom would have it on every day and I would watch it and I would take away a lot of information. And Oprah shifted at some point from being like a, you know, a Phil Donahue type show to being very much into her self-care spiritual journey.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, I can still vividly remember the episode where everybody, like, got jeans or got bras that fit them properly, like, all the audience members. And there was just something, like, so informational and empowering about what you would come across on Oprah. And that doesn't exist anymore. You know, just coming home and having something beyond while your parents cook
dinner. Well, also, there's such an overload of information now. Like, as teens, I don't think we were... I feel like teens right now these days are so like they're attuned to skincare. They know like teens know about serums.
Teens are so fucking on top of things.
Yes. And like we didn't know. Like we got magazines once a month and that
we
was
the
it.
Real
and
world.
Right. And so they're just we just didn't have the breadth of information early on that people do now.
No.
And so, yeah. And then I remember I had a friend who worked at a magazine who had amazing skin. And I asked her one day, like, what do you use? And she sent me this long email of like, you have to use a serum. And I was like, what's a serum? And, you know, and this was like not that long ago. Like this was probably like 6 or 7 years ago.
Can I tell you? I didn't understand that women straightened their hair with hair straightening tools until I was like 31.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that people were who had these like beautiful straight hairstyles, that was their natural look.
You're reminding me that a place where I feel like I observed a lot of beauty rituals was in the Equinox locker room.
Yeah, you learn a lot.
In New York. Because I would go in the morning and I would see these women getting ready. And I was like, oh, like some of them, it takes an hour.
Yes.
Like they would blow dry their hair and then they would curl their hair and then they would put on, you know, makeup. It was this whole really long ritual. I also was like, oh, everyone wears thongs?
Oh, that's another revelation I had. And then you did, and then you tried and you were like, or at least for me, and I was like, this is never going to work for
like,
me.
No, this, I don't want to feel like I have a wedgie all day.
People being like, they're so comfortable. Try these hanky pankies.
They were never comfortable.
They're
for
the worst.
Me.
I'm so glad we're united on this. I truly.
Oh, I'm 100% united on this.
You know what is even makes me more stressed is people who work out in thongs.
Ugh.
Oh.
No. No.
Fuck, how do you even do it?
I don't know. But like, also, I feel like there was a big thing for a long time. Like you didn't want to have a visible panty line.
I have never. I just don't even wear pants that tight. I don't know.
Yeah. What underwear do you wear?
Currently a mix of Patagonia because I used to work there and I'm still loyal to their underwear. And then a brand that I buy at Costco, number one store of my life, that is actually very comfortable. Can I also just say that going to college, I had a friend who's still one of my BFFs, and she had this big red bag. If she listens to this podcast, she's going to get a good chuckle out of this. Hi, Elena. But she would go into the like bathroom every night with her big red bag of her face stuff, and she had this whole, and she has the best skin. And she had this whole regimen, and watching her go through it, it was like eye-opening to me.
She was an early adopter.
She was on. She's from Texas, where I feel like they take that shit seriously.
Yeah.
And I just had no clue. And yeah. And she just had her routine. And I think she also like really liked doing it.
Mm.
And it's funny, like we were at a girls weekend last year. And she still was had a bag and had different products.
I love that.
She had started using like natural products, but she still had like her little ritual.
That's so nice.
It was great. So my, you know, your friends.
Yeah. But, you know, in terms of like doing it as a ritual that made me feel like was a sort of calming ritual, that's pretty new.
Me too.
Like that's probably within the last couple of years.
Same. Totally same. I'd never even, it was a stressful thing until very recently.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't stressful for me. It was just sort of like, meh, like throw this on my face. You know what I mean?
Or throw nothing on your face.
Or throw nothing on your face. And I was more invested in my makeup routine.
Interesting.
Than my skincare routine. So I feel like I'm in a good place now where I have like a healthier relationship to acknowledging my need for self-care, and certainly going through IVF like forces you to be kinder to yourself, or at least try to be. So I think that kind of like jump started some of it too for me.
And now here we are. We have a podcast
here
about
we are
it.
Having a podcast.
Now we've just upped it.
Now we're just enabling thousands of people to take care of themselves. And I'm okay with that.
Dory, I think it's time to talk to our guest, Danielle Henderson.
Our guest today is Danielle Henderson. Hi, Danielle.
Guys, how are you?
We are good.
Very excited.
Well, I am good. I shouldn't speak for you, Kate.
I'm great. I'm so excited you're here.
Yeah, I am so excited you're here. Danielle, I'm just going to introduce you to our listeners.
By all means.
I'm going to Cliff's Notes your bio on your website, which is great. You should all go to Danielle's website and read her bio because it's amazing.
Thank you.
It's your DanielleHenderson.net.
It's DanielleHenderson.net because
yeah,
DanielleHenderson.com is a fencer.
Oh.
And she hasn't updated it in years, but she won't give it up. So.
All right. DanielleHenderson.net.
Typical fencer.
Okay. Danielle Henderson is a TV writer. Maniac, Divorce, and Difficult People are some of her credits. Freelance writer and a former editor and staff writer for Rookie, a book based on her popular website, Feminist Ryan Gosling, was released by Running Press in August 2012. You can still buy it, and you probably should. Her memoir, The Ugly Cry, will be published in 2018. And I'm just going to read, here we go. Okay. Danielle went back to college in 2008 after a 12-year, let's call it a hiatus, and graduated summa cum laude in 2011, earning degrees in both English literature and women's studies. 2013, she earned her master's degree in gender and women's studies, and she dropped out of her PhD program after one semester, no longer able to withstand constantly being asked to use the word axiological, which, despite having a dictionary definition, doesn't actually mean anything. She likes to watch old episodes of Doctor Who when she is on deadline. One of her tattoos is based on the movie Rocky, and she will never stop using the Oxford comma. Welcome, Danielle Henderson.
Excellent. Yay. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Beautiful way to encapsulate me. But you say so.
It was the beginning and the end of your
bio.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's really nothing more to know. I don't even know why you guys have me here.
Oh,
that's everything.
What?
That's everything.
Well, so Danielle, you are living in Los Angeles right now.
I am.
What brings you to LA?
Right now, I'm writing on a show. It's called Sorry for Your Loss. It's going to be on the new Facebook network, which is wild because I don't use Facebook.
Okay.
So I was like, is that a prerequisite for this job? Because then I can't have this job. But it's going to be cool. Elizabeth Olsen is in it. Kelly Marie Tran. Mamadou Ataï. He was the guy in Patty Cakes.
Oh.
Was cast in it. Jovan Adepa was a pretty cool cast.
What's the gist of the show?
It's basically a young woman who's 27. Her husband dies suddenly. And over the course of the first season, we tease out whether or not it was intentional or accidental.
Oh,
it's a mystery.
This is kind of a departure for you, genre-wise.
It is. I mean, it's still going to be a comedy. I mostly write comedy, but, you know, death. A lot of death. So hard to be funny about death.
I mean,
you know about that.
I love talking about death.
I mean, Kate knows your book is poignant as hell, but also incredibly funny at parts.
Death can be hilarious.
Yeah. It's a real hoot.
How did you made the leap to TV writing? yeah. later in your like lifetime as a person.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Absolutely.
And how I feel like we're often discouraged from making big, bold leaps career wise, like, you know, cutting out of what we used to be doing and doing something completely different. How did that feel for you? How did you do it? Was the risk worth it?
The risk was totally worth it. It's always worth it, in my opinion. Even if you don't end up somewhere that you want to be, you usually learn a lot. But my resume reads like I've been on the run from the law. So I just have to go with that and hope that somebody doesn't clue into how weird that is. I tried college right after high school for a year. And I really didn't fit in, and it just didn't make sense. I was paying for it by myself, so it just didn't make sense for me to stay. And I went to LaSalle, which is right outside of Boston.
My mom went to LaSalle when it was a junior college.
Okay, and all women's college, right?
Yes.
It used to be all women's. Now it's co-ed, but...
Oh, that's crazy.
It's a weird little place. And my reason for picking it is because it was, one, not in New York. I wanted to get farther away from my family, but still be on the East Coast. And Anne Sexton lived in the Newton Highlands.
Oh.
And I was that kind of precocious twat that I was like,
oh my God.
I want to live where Anne Sexton lived. Not worth it. Don't make your college decisions based on where Anne Sexton lives. But yeah, I kind of tried it and hated it. And so I just left. That was my first real departure for like doing something out of the norm. Mm. And I was, you know, 19 years old, and I just moved to California. I moved to San Francisco. And yeah. This is back when I shipped, like you could ship all of your earthly belongings via media mail. So it cost me about $100 to move across country.
what a good USPS hack from 20 years ago.
Don't try that now. The USPS has gone way downhill. But yeah, I just kind of moved, and this is like working as a bartender and as a, you know, a barista, and just had all these odd jobs for years. And I always had two or three jobs. So I always worked in like, you know, be a barista in the morning and then work at a bookstore at night. And it really wasn't until I was 30 years old that I kind of decided I wanted to try school again. And by that point, I'd lived in Alaska for 4 years. I'd like traveled a lot. I had been all over the place and drove cross country two or three times. Wow. And I was like, all right, it's time to like settle down. And my version of settling down was going back to college. So that was kind of the kickoff of me like making a big leap and making a couple of big leaps and just hoping that that would fulfill me. And it did. So by the time I got into TV writing, I'd actually been freelancing for a while. And the way that my current reps found me is that they read my Real Housewives recaps on Vulture.
Oh my God.
So good.
Thank you.
So good. And your recaps were...
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I love those shows. Like, it's really fun to write about it. And so, they liked my recaps and they're like, you're really good at writing. Like, have you ever thought about writing for TV? And I was like, yeah, of course. But how do you do that? Where's the door? Where's the way in? And I had no idea how to do it. And I'd asked a ton of people. Kate, I think I even asked you.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit. Like, not that I've written for TV, but my husband does.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we emailed about it. And I was like, I got great advice, but none of it was like applicable to my particular circumstance. So, when they came around, I was like, yeah, just say yes. Try it out. My general ethos is that like I can do anything for a year. So if it doesn't work out, I'll just go back to what I was doing or find something new.
And it worked out.
It worked out.
And you had already established yourself as like a hilarious voice in digital media.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, feminist Ryan Gosling is a huge deal.
It's iconic.
Yeah.
That was me struggling through my master's degree. It was truly my homework. Like I would get all this like bombarded with theory and I just couldn't stand it. I'm like, this is so dry. And why does academia have to be so dry and miserable? And I just wanted to make it funny. So yeah, I put a couple of pictures up with some theory from my homework I'm on my Tumblr. And my classmates were like, you should put this on its own thing. And I did. And then overnight it was on Jezebel.
Wow.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, I guess this is happening. And the only reason I published the book is because I wanted to get my PhD. I wanted to teach. And I knew that they liked when people published. So I held off for a while.
Oh, that's amazing.
I was like, people like right away were like, do you want to publish it? And I'm like, no, I don't want to publish. But I held off for a few months. And then I wrote it over my winter break, my first year of my master's degree program.
Do you still want to teach or are you now pretty settled in your current career?
I do eventually want to teach. I kind of loved it. I think that's going to be my retirement plan. I'm going to make miniatures and teach.
Little dollhouse
furniture. That's amazing.
My friend Sarah and I are obsessed with miniatures. So,
do you make them?
Yeah.
Miniatures of what?
little houses and towns and like food and the whole deal.
Oh, wait a second. So this sounds like a self-care ritual.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
Crafting has always been a self-care ritual for me, for real.
Wait a sec. Go on.
I learned how to... I was kind of a, well, how do I put this? I was a nerd and a jackass. Like, those two things are very at odds when you're a kid. But I was, like, really into books in the library and hanging out by myself. And also just, like, had a big, fat attitude about how much I hated my hometown. So I was just always by myself. And I was growing up with my grandparents. And my grandparents, by that point, had already raised their kids. So anytime I wanted to be out of their face, they're like, great. As long as you're not killing yourself or somebody else, do whatever you want. So I got to spend a lot of time just kind of just figuring out what I liked. And I liked books. I read all the time. I think the reason I have glasses now is I used to read by streetlight when I was a kid.
Like, oh my
I would
God.
Open my curtains and read a book. But yeah, I started crocheting. My grandma taught me how to crochet when I was six. I taught myself how to knit. I've always done like beadwork and kind of necklaces and stuff. But yeah, I really like building little things.
Can I ask how miniatures work? Like, do you go buy a kit and put it together?
Yes, you can buy a kit for sure. There are like lots of websites, Etsy stuff that you can do to put it together yourself. And kind of it sounds ridiculous to say, but like a prefab mini house. But you can also just kind of buy the materials and figure it out. So you can just like buy wood and make your own little house and your own shingles and your own everything. It's kind of cool.
Well, as someone who has moved around a lot, what happens to your miniatures and all your crafting?
They get prioritized. They get packed up and I take them with me. Wow. I've lost a lot of books in the process.
Wow.
A couple of toes, but those miniatures come with me. Yeah, I just kind of, because I have moved so much in my life and I feel like I always have at least three or four of those like big plastic tubs full of yarn and beads and all kinds of stuff. And I'll never give it up. Because I've always, whenever I have any downtime, I just go right to it. And that's what I do to relax.
Yeah, I was wondering, do you have specific times that you do it? Or you just kind of do it when you feel like it? Or
it comes and goes. I always have something that I'm working on to keep my hands busy. But I have a pretty regimented schedule, which is also part of my self-care routine. But I definitely like knitting constantly. I'm just always knitting something, even if it's just trying a stitch and working on a swatch. But yeah, I have like my nighttime routine where I'll sit down and watch TV and work on my craft stuff for a couple hours, or Sundays are great. On Saturdays, I write letters. So, So Saturday mornings, I sit down with a cup of coffee and I have like, you know, my little stationery pad and my envelopes and stuff. And I just...
Every Saturday you write letters
to friends?
I write them to friends and to my great aunt, who's like 87 this year.
Do they write back?
Yeah. My great aunt and I have I have two suitcases full of correspondence over my lifetime with her.
Oh, that's so special.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. She taught me how to sneak into movies.
Oh, I love her.
When I was a kid, she was like, we're going to the movies. And I was like, all right, great. She's like, pack a sandwich. And I was like, why? She's like, because we're going to two movies. And I was like, what? And then we did. We went to the movie and then we got out and went to the bathroom and hung out in the bathroom for 10 minutes and then came out and walked into another movie.
Yeah,
and I was like, solid. Like, this is great. And we had lunch. We didn't have to buy extra food. We just walked in. It was great.
She sounds wonderful.
She's cool. She's texting now and also using Bitmoji, but I still like writing letters.
What is it about writing letters that... What do you get out of it? I mean, obviously, correspondence is a really wonderful thing, and it's a lost art at this point. But right. Like, what is it that keeps you coming back every Saturday?
Mostly the calm of being able to sit with your thoughts for a minute and kind of not rush through an email or rushing through my thoughts all week is exhausting. And I think part of that is because of the jobs that I've chosen to do over the past few years. But definitely there's something very therapeutic to me about sitting down and very thoughtfully trying to construct what I want to say to somebody. It has like a little more emotion to me and it kind of feels more memorable to me. Like I not only remember what I'm writing to them, but when I get letters back, it feels very special.
That's amazing.
That. Yeah,
I love cool. it so much.
I just found a whole like cache of notes and letters that people had written to me at camp and in college, and I couldn't bring myself to part with any of them.
I know, they're so special. Yeah. And it's also they're going to be relics in a few years.
Oh, completely.
Like you can start a museum with that stuff in a few years.
Yes. Yes.
Do you save all of your letters from people?
I do. Yeah, I keep them all in suitcases and I just keep them all in my house. I'll never get rid of them. those are like the things I would grab in a fire kind of thing.
Yeah. Ugh,
for sure.
Really, that's really cool.
Do you find that these rituals help you creatively?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's hard when your job is a creative job and you're a creative person in more ways than one. I think for me, it's difficult to prioritize. So now that I'm kind of writing all day for work and then I come home at night and I write for a few hours on my book and then I write all weekend, it's kind of like, it's a nice way to take a break, and it helps me. Like, I never feel writer's block. I never feel like I'm stuck on something, because I can always just pick something else up and still feel like I'm moving forward in some way or making something, which helps clear my head a ton.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really, it's therapeutic in a way that I never acknowledged until recently. I just thought, well, I like making things and I'm cheap, so I'll make it myself. Like, oh, I'm not spending $40 on a sweater at the Gap. I can make it myself. But there's something really cool about it. And it's time consuming. It can be very time consuming. But I think that's why, like, my approach has to be a little bit more, just, I don't want to say thought less. It's just, my approach has to be a little bit more even keeled. You know, I can't think of it as like, well, I have to finish this project by the end of the month or else I'll never finish anything. Yeah. But yeah, I think I do feel like a clearing of the headspace when I work on that stuff. So that tends to help with anything else that I'm doing creatively, for sure.
This is very inspiring.
It is. Yeah. I also feel like your practices are like, have value. Whereas like on Saturday morning, I sit in bed and I like scroll my phone. You know what I mean? Like, there's, you're making someone's day by sending them a letter. Your day is made by getting one in return. You're able to get your thoughts out. I mean, that all just sounds like it's really healthy.
It's thank you. My therapist will be very proud.
Yeah, but tell them I said so.
I will make them listen to this. But I think part of it is, because I do that too, like the scrolling through the phone thing. And I have to actively stop myself from doing it, because I remember a time in my life where, of course, no one had a phone. It wasn't a part of what we did or how we communicated. And I'm not a pilgrim, but I also feel like there's something like really missing from that all day. Like, there's no worse feeling to me than realizing I just spent like 3 hours playing Farm Heroes.
I don't know Farm Heroes.
But I don't either.
It sounds like a fun game.
It's just like a little puzzly kind of, it's like a Candy Crush type game. And I can play it all day without even realizing it. Yeah. And then I'm spending money on extra lives. And there's no worse feeling to me than being like, that 3 hours could have been so much more relaxing in an intentional way. And instead, like, my brain's just out. But I'm not doing Twitter this year. That's another thing I'm doing for self-care. I took it off my phone. I changed my password and gave it to my friend and told her to change it again. I'm just not doing it. Like, I'm just, anything, I just made a decision this year that anything that takes time out of my, like, takes time out of my, the clarity of mental space for me is not worth it.
That is a really good way to live your life, I think.
Write a guidebook for us.
Yeah.
About how to do this. No, I, the happiest I've ever been in the past, like, 2 years was when I was off Twitter for about 3 or 4 months and gave my login to my husband, and then he changed it and I couldn't get on. And then it was like, well, that's it.
That's it.
And it was, and you just took a Twitter break, Dory.
I did. It wasn't that long, but it was very nice. And I've taken it off my phone.
I don't know if you guys feel this, but I get the feeling, the thing that kind of inspired that for me is that I just felt like there's so much noise all day long, and it's all from the pit of despair, which I totally understand. I live in that place myself sometimes. But I started to really resent people that I am supposed to like, just because I'm constantly hearing like hot takes on everything. And I was like, this is fucking exhausting. I cannot dislike people that are true to my heart just because I hear them all day on Twitter talking nonsense.
I don't know if you've had this experience, but I will talk to like some of my friends from college, and I'll be like, well, blah, blah, blah on Twitter. And they're not on Twitter, and they're just like, I have no idea.
They have
and
no clue.
And they're totally fully functioning and having great, you know, like it's, there's a weird FOMO with information.
Totally.
Like on those sites.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to use it for professional announcements, but that's it.
Amen.
My original thought was to try it for a month, and it felt so good. I was like, I'm not doing this at all this year.
Yeah.
I love that. Danielle, you brought some products with you.
I did. It's going to take exactly 2 minutes to go through them because I use three things.
That's great.
And one of them's brand new. Like, I used to use two things until last week.
And all the same brand.
All the same brand, because, again, I'm very lazy.
And loyal.
Well, my... the one thing. My family is full of maniacs, but the one thing that I've been blessed with through my family is good genes. So I have I spent most of my life really not paying attention to my skin at all. Like, I just didn't do anything. I did one thing, which is I washed my face with sugar.
Yeah, we have to pause and talk about this.
I learned it from Sassy Magazine.
What? So since you were a teen.
Yeah.
Now, do you have like just a box of cane sugar?
Yeah, just plain old white sugar. Do not use raw sugar because that is like putting gravel on your face. But plain white sugar with a little bit of water, you kind of make a paste out of it. Then you rub it on your face and then you wash it off in the shower a couple times a week. That's all I do.
That's amazing.
I didn't even start using moisturizer until like a couple years ago.
And oh my God.
What made you decide to add things into your routine? Was it like a feeling of obligation or?
Yeah, a lot of it was peer pressure. Yeah. Like, I have to admit, a lot of it was peer pressure. But I also would like try things at friends' houses or at hotels and be like, ooh, this actually feels nice. And I kind of want to recreate this nice feeling. I also think that a friend of mine told me this, and I think it's true, that whenever you are, whatever you're doing to take care of your skin right now, most of it won't give you an immediate benefit, but yes, you're kind of taking care of your skin for 10 years in the future.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I feel like, all right, if I can rock it into my 50s and 60s with, you know, decent skin, that's something I can do now.
And are you're still doing your sugar routine? Yeah. Routine is the wrong word.
It's kind of a routine. Yeah. Okay. I get into it.
And then what are these additional items?
So I went to Kiehl's, which I love just because I love all their products. So I use this Ultra Facial Cleanser. Mm. That's just something I use every morning. It's for all skin types. Anyone can use it. And it's just a nice way to kind of feel really clean. And then I usually, until last week, I was doing that and then the Ultra Facial Moisturizer. And that's it. It has SPF in it.
That's a nice I know that Kiehl's moisturizer. It's a nice creamy moisturizer.
And it's just so light and it's not fragrant because I can't stand putting something in my face that just like smells overwhelmingly alcoholic or flowery. I couldn't stand it.
Do you ever get breakouts?
No.
Your skin does look like the skin of a teen.
But like a teen without acne. Yeah,
that's right. Like the teen at your school who never got a zit.
We always talk about the teen at our school who never got a zit.
That was me.
And that was you.
Right. And you still are that teen.
I will get them occasionally. I will. Like every couple of months, like a few times a year, I'll get like one zit. But then I'm just like, all right, I got a zit. I don't do anything. I don't care. And I'm just like, all right, it'll go away whenever it goes away.
What a life.
But I don't wear makeup, so.
That could help.
I've never been a makeup wearer.
And then what is that third thing?
Now, the third thing is something I got conned into when I went to Kiehl's to replenish my facial moisturizer. Mm-hmm. And they took this little wand and they were like, we're going to test your skin moisture levels. And I was like, yeah, solid. Great. And they put this little wand on my face and they're like, it should be at 50% for maximum, you know, moisture. And it was like 30. So I'm like, what the fuck should I do? It's at 30. I panicked, like just in the moment panicked. And I'm like, I'm old and my skin's drying out. What's going on? And they gave me this serum. It's called a Hydro Plumping Retexturizing Serum Concentrate. A lot of words. But it's basically, you just put two pumps in your hand and it's really smooth. And you put it on underneath your moisturizer.
Every night? Every morning?
I do it every morning.
Okay.
I don't wash my face at night.
You don't use like a night cream?
No.
Okay.
I don't think you need to.
No, clearly she doesn't.
No.
Should I? I've been listening to this podcast religiously and I'm like, should I get that? I've got lists. I've got Excel spreadsheets.
I don't think you should unless it calls to you.
I think your skin tells you what it needs.
Oh,
good point. My skin needs a little bit of sunlight, not too much because I get freckles instantly, but I need a little bit of sunlight. I need to be clean and fresh. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
And sugared.
And sugar, guys.
I mean, sugar, I was talking about this in a different episode, but it's a great natural like exfoliant.
Yes.
So you're doing it right.
That's all I do. And then occasionally I will, like when I remember, which is not often, I'd say once a week, when I'm in the shower, I'll use baby oil or almond oil after the shower as a moisturizer.
It's the best.
Feels really nice.
I just love that you also learned that in Sassy. Because I feel like if you were going to follow the direction of a magazine, it would be Sassy.
Sassy had everything.
Yes.
And the two things that I took away from Sassy were the sugar on the face thing and how to make a pillowcase dress.
Yes. The pillowcase dress. Famous Sassy.
Famous pillowcase dress, which didn't even fit me when I was like a 100-pound teenager.
I kind of wonder how that would work. Yeah. I can't wear a pillowcase.
And they didn't specify like not a standard pillowcase, but a king-size pillowcase. So I just had like a standard pillowcase I cut up and I'm like, my head won't fit. What's wrong with me? Like it was the worst, but I tried it.
I wonder how it is for younger women and girls now. I'm sure they have those places to get advice. I mean, Rookie is a good one. Yeah. But we only had these teen magazines.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have one YouTube Stars or whatever. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like YM and 17, and those magazines were kind of more like commercial.
Yeah.
They were, so they didn't really, I don't know. Sassy was so punk rock.
Sassy, it did feel like they were talking directly to you.
Yeah.
100%.
And I'm sure those outlets exist elsewhere now for
yeah I think that's but I also think that for teens now it's a lot of like they're making their own kind of stuff, so it's a lot of like Instagram and Tumblr and websites, and it's very encouraging and inspiring, but it's not the same as having someone just be like, hello all teens,
right?
Let me speak to you specifically, weird teen girls.
And also only like once a month,
right?
You know, yeah. Like there wasn't, you know, like you could go on your phone and get like access to a million cool teens in 2 seconds, but once a month you were given this, like
it landed in your mailbox. Yes. It was an event.
Can I just tell you that the worst day of my life, and I'm including worldwide disasters, personal tragedy, the worst day of my life was when I was moving back from California. I'd been for 4 years. I'd been living in San Francisco. And the day I got back, my grandmother was like, there was a box upstairs. Oh, and no. I just Danielle, threw it out. It was all of my Sassy
magazines. Same thing happened to me.
The day before I got back.
I mean, not that same thing.
How
but
do we talk to our family still?
But oh, I was like, do you know what happened to those boxes in the attic? And my mom was like, oh, I threw them out. It was just like a bunch of old magazines. And I was like, what?
Oh, what I wouldn't give.
Devastating.
Yeah.
I mean, that also seems like something now, if you ever have a little money to burn, you can be like eBay.
Exactly. Totally.
40 Sassies.
Totally.
I had somebody, I don't remember who, but somebody recently was like, I have the whole Sassy library. And I was jealous. Like, I don't get jealous of anyone or anything most of the time. Instant jealousy.
Oh, no.
Because I was like, you know what? So did I, Grandma. So did I. The day before. She's like, well, I thought I'd clear some space for you to bring some stuff back. And I was like, fuck you, bitch. Honestly.
Wow.
Yeah. It was devastating. It was devastating.
Oh, I like still think about specific things from the magazine. They were everyone at Sassy wanted to fuck Morrissey real bad.
Real bad.
I didn't listen to Morrissey and I would just be like, oh, I guess this guy's hot. I don't know.
I had a Morrissey poster in my bedroom.
You were way more. I was into Fish. That's you were so more gone.
I was really into Led Zeppelin.
Oh, you
like
were
for some reason I was like, Robert Plant's hot. And then I would find out about all these hideous things they did to their groupies and I'm like, oh God. Horrible tasted men, solidify.
Started young.
Started real young. Yeah, I loved Led Zeppelin. I loved like 70s rock and 60s stuff. I was just kind of, I was obsessed with the 60s in the same way that people now are obsessed with the 90s. And now that I'm like 40, I'm like, fuck you, that was ours. But my mom and grandma were the same way. They were like, that was mine. Like I remember telling my aunt like, you know what? I found this really cool thing my friends and I are doing. And it's a theater and it's midnight and we go see this movie called The Rocky Horror Picture Show. She's like, yeah, you idiot. I saw it live. Like with the full cast. Like you didn't invent this. And I'm like, but we kind of did.
It's like when Wayne's World came out and it was the first time I had heard Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, completely.
And I was like, thought I just discovered this cool thing.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh no, this has been around for 20 years. Who knew?
Freddie Mercury's going to die in a year. You're that far behind.
But it is weird. It is. I do have a hard time now watching people take the 90s and turn it into a style choice.
Yes. It's because the 90s were not cool.
No, they were awful.
Like most of the choices we were making were not to be cool. So it's weird to see those things become like trendy and cool now.
Yeah, it's.
Also, everyone was so angry and so depressed.
Yes.
It was a fucked up time.
Yeah.
It really was. Oh, I miss it. Guys, I miss it so much.
Well, this has just been so great to have you on.
Walk through memory.
Seriously, it's been, I'm so thrilled you got to come in.
I am too. This is a joy.
And
you're
inspiring me to start letter writing.
I love that so much.
Yes. That's so cool. Take the time. Just an hour.
How many do you do? Oh, is it the same people every week? How many do you do every Saturday?
I write to my aunt every 2 weeks. And then I have an address book, like a regular, it's not on my phone, like an actual paper address book. But I have a list of annual things that I do. And so I'll kind of add some people to that list and make sure that I write to them regularly. If I feel like I've been out of touch, but I just kind of sprinkle it around and mix it up.
Love it.
Mixed it up.
Well, thanks again, Danielle.
Thank you guys so much for having me and for teaching me about new products. By the next time I talk to you, I'll have like four.
And we'll all be sugaring our face.
Yeah.
I can only hope. I can only hope.
Thanks, Danielle. Danielle is so inspiring, and I am going to start writing letters.
I loved her crafting self-care.
Yes.
Miniatures.
Oh, so soothing.
Knitting. And just that she has that time for herself is really, that's an intention. That's like kind of a longer life intention.
Totally.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters, and then my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Kate, let's talk about intentions.
Okay. Dory, last week you were going to make a work schedule.
Yeah.
And?
I didn't.
But you know what? After talking to you today, I feel like that's okay. You're not there yet.
Yeah, you know what? I think I was premature. I think there were some other foundational things I needed to get out of the way, and then I can make my work schedule. I feel like I'm still, you know, I was going to give myself a week to not really do anything. And I think I need this week as well to kind of like situate myself. Like I've made plans and I have meetings.
And you have projects already going on.
And I have projects going on. I'm working on stuff, but like, and then next week I'm going to South by Southwest. And so I feel like then I'm going on vacation and I feel like then.
Give it some time.
The fun will really start. But I also want to give a quick update on another intention from a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Which is my being on time update.
And?
I'm kind of a new woman.
You got to the podcast recording tonight before me.
I sure did.
We're early.
Kate, I was early. It's like a whole new world.
And what's your trick? Are you just leaving 5 minutes earlier than you normally do?
It's the my old way of thinking was like, oh, I have time to squeeze this thing in. And my new way of thinking is like, no, just get there a few minutes early. Like today, for example, I was actually guest on another podcast.
Oh, hi.
A Jurassic Park podcast. Well,
don't mind if I do.
And you will.
Oh.
And as I was, I'd met a friend for lunch. And then as I was driving to the podcast, I was like, I kind of have to pee. I might have to poop.
Where were you going to just go on the side
of
the road?
I was like, I could stop at home.
Right.
And do this. And then I was like,
wait, this is a very, I feel like you could have been late for this reason. You sacrificed and you held it in.
I didn't really have to poop. Okay. It was a false alarm. Okay. I think I just had to fart.
Oh, that always helps. Yeah. Just get it out.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then I was like, I'll be like 10 minutes early, which like old Dory never would have been 10 minutes early.
Oh.
So, but I was like, all right, I'll just show up 10 minutes early. And then he showed up around the same time. And so the host, and we got started.
You farted in your car.
I farted in my car and like everything was fine.
Did you pee?
I peed after.
Okay, you held it in.
Yeah.
I have such pee anxiety.
It wasn't like an urgent pee.
Well, which is good to recognize. You were like, you know what, body? Hold it in.
Exactly.
I'm going to be early.
So that's just a little example.
That's really great. Congratulations.
Thank you. So, you know, it's not foolproof. It's not perfect. But I think I'm just being more realistic about how much time things are taking and also allowing myself more time.
I have to say, for talking about this every week has made me really bet I'm holding myself more accountable.
But you were an on-time person anyway.
That's not one area where I was raised by a very anal on-time family who will get to the airport still like 3 hours early.
Right. See, my dad is, he's a
chronic late guy.
Yeah, he's just, like, he takes forever to, like, get out of the house because he'll forget something. It's just like, oh, come on. So I think that's, like, what I've.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's on the books for this week?
What was your intention for last week?
Little old me.
Yeah, let's talk about you.
You know, I think it was that I was going to purge, keep working on my bedroom space.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't do it, but because I had started, Anthony then cleaned up his stuff.
Oh my God.
He came in and he like literally went like, ta-da, and showed me his cleared off bureau.
Wait, that's amazing.
I was like, did I? Oh, wow.
All right.
Okay. I'm still a mess, but you saw my piles and then you did it. He was like in there shuffling stuff around. It was great.
You know what Matt did today? He was like, I think we should keep not an X-Acto knife. What are those knives called?
A box cutter?
Yeah, a box cutter. He's like, I think we should keep one in the drawer, like the entryway drawer, because then when we get so many packages, and then we can just break down the boxes like when they come in. And I was like, that is a great idea, Matt. And he was like, I'm going to think of more stuff for the house. I was like, great, okay.
Problem solvers.
I know. It's really, like, I think there's something about, like, when you just make them do stuff, it's like they do it.
Just herd them along.
Just herd them along. But you did go to bed on time this week.
Oh my God, this week I was going to bed so early. It felt so good. Because I've had conversations with other women my age who are like, I'm in bed by like 9:30.
My sister.
And I'm in bed at like 11 to 12.
Yeah.
And it's not, doesn't feel good.
No.
9:30. And then just reading and then getting tired while you read and then falling asleep with the book open. Just felt good. So I did work toward that. And
I love that.
And it felt great.
Oh, I'm happy for you.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy for you.
Thanks.
So where are we headed next week with our intentions?
Well, so next week, you know, I mentioned the office purge. I really want to finish the purge.
Okay.
Because I've been holding myself back from buying stuff from the Container Store website because I can't buy anything until I've finished the purge.
Nor should I
prioritize stuff. So I really want to get to the point where I'm allowed to buy stuff because that's the goal. No, just kidding. But like I do, it's like exciting to me to be able to go to the Container Store and buy some stuff and organize and I think it'll be great to just go to the Container Store and organize. So I need to finish that purge and we'll be great. What about you?
I just put in capital letters, read books. Okay. I have really let my book reading slide, not in the past like year, but in the past like 5 years.
Oh, okay.
I don't read enough books. It's very hard to find time.
Yeah.
So I say.
Oh.
But truly, I think what it is that I've been addicted to my iPhone and I haven't put it down in a way that then allows me to read. I'm going to be reading at night because, you know, from 6:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., I'm either working or a mom.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm both, you know, but those are what I'm, that's what's up.
Totally.
There's no time to like crack open a book.
Right.
But I have found if I put my phone down at 9 o'clock and I'm like, now is time, if everything's done, all my nighttime chores, then I'm like going to wash my face. I'm going to get in bed and I'm going to read for 20 or 30 minutes.
You are living the Dori Shafrir bedtime ritual life.
That's what I want. I want. Well, you know, it's so upsetting when I found out how many other people do have like this healthy bedtime routine. Mm. And mine is still, I fall back on the like, get in bed, scroll over.
No, it all starts with getting the phone out of the room.
Phone is a curse. So, you know, I have huge stacks of books that I want to read. And I also feel like I'm not part of conversations because I haven't read things. And, you know, part of that is because my time is finding time to do it is really challenging. Like my weekends aren't for me anymore.
Totally.
I got to be at ballet class and then be at a Captain Underpants themed birthday party, which was delightful, but like that's where I am.
But you're not bringing a book.
No, that would be weird.
Yeah.
If I was a parent who read a book.
That would be weird.
At a birthday party. But, you know, I can make more time in my day to read. And I'm doing that right now.
I love that. What are you reading?
Okay, so this is like a little bit of a shout out, but Page Habits sent us their box, their monthly box as a very nice gift, a gesture. And I cracked it open. And one of the books is Jasmine's book, which I feel like I'll never stop talking about, but I've read it. And then the other book was a book called Starlight Nights.
Oh, go on.
It's a romance, which is what I love. My favorite kind of book to read. And it's about two co-stars on like a CW Twilighty Vampire Diaries type show.
This is right up your alley.
Oh my God, I know. I literally almost I freaked out. I was like, look, my love of Twilight and the cast of Twilight is a topic for another time. But seeing a book that's basically about like these two co-stars like had a really like heated friendship and they've been apart for years and now they're back together. And like, will they like hook up this time and fall in love? And I was like, I'm 100% on board and I'm really enjoying it. And it's right up my alley.
I love that.
It's angsty. It's sexual. I mean, it is like, and I do love a good angst romance.
Yeah,
I read
sure.
a lot of like fluffier romance, but I love a good angst. And I'm just in heaven with this Starlight Nights.
Oh, I love it.
So thank you,
Page Habit,
for just bringing this book to me. I would have never heard. I had never heard of it. It had not crossed my radar at all.
This is when I'm like, subscription boxes can be kind of great.
The box was super cute. I loved all the stationery that came with it and a little pen. It was, and Jasmine's book came with post-it notes where she had written like information about her process.
Yeah, it was
really cool.
Yeah.
So
well, maybe I'll read the book too because they sent me a box also. We'll link to it on our website.
Okay.
Well, I think that just about wraps it up for today.
Dori.
Yeah.
Where can people find us?
Well, they can find us on Instagram at Forever 35 Podcast, on Twitter at Forever 35 Pod. Our website is forever35podcast.com. You can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com and you can call us.
Call me.
At 781-591-0390.
Now, look, I will not be checking any of these social media sites after 9 p.m.
No, but you can still shout us out on them.
But please talk to us on them.
Yeah. Bye. Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Kate Spencer and Dori Shafrir and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Please leave us Apple Podcast reviews. It really helps people find the show.
And definitely check out our episode next week.
You're not going to want to miss this one.